hey, what should I do with this podcast about Burn After Reading with Jackie and my dad, Ray Richmond? Leave a note? Highly classified shit found? CIA shit? Anyone lose their secret CIA shit? I'll declassify it. You guys can listen. JFIO presents.
What? Are you kidding? We got some family here.
This ain't no coon, huh?
Okay, I'm not going to sit here and debate.
I'll show you the life of a man!
You will find a fortune. Good would not be the fortune you seek.
I suppose you think you've raised hell.
When I've raised hell, you'll know it.
Something is very wrong. I don't want Santana Abraxas. I've just been in a terrible auto accident.
What's the most you ever lost in the coin toss?
Sometimes knowledge is useless.
Accept the mystery. A Coen Brothers podcast.
Welcome to another very special episode of Accept the Mystery, the podcast where we discuss every single Coen Brothers movie in absurd, ridiculous, excruciating, obscene levels of detail. My name is Josh Richmond. Do you notice how I slipped obscene in there? And that's a good segue to talk about Bill Cosby, like, 60 seconds
right
into
off
this
the
podcast,
bat.
Right?
Oh my gosh, please. I don't know that I don't think I can hold it to 60, of course.
I know, you're raring to talk about this.
Oh my god.
I don't know, we'll introduce you first. But first we have to introduce my co-host. I'm going way out of order here.
Yeah,
I'm jumping
how dare
all over
you?
The place. Sorry, of course. Sitting across from me is the incredibly talented Jackie Lechtoldze, who is my co-host.
That is sweet. Hello.
And sitting to my left is an entertainment journalist and author of such books as TV Moms and My Greatest Day in Show Business. And he's responsible for half of my DNA.
I like to think of it as three quarters.
Whoa.
That's possible. It might be tilting slightly more towards that side. Please welcome Ray Richmond to the show.
Thank you. Thank
welcome.
You.
Welcome.
Thanks.
So,
and your co-host is the lovely and talented Jackie.
Sorry, did I leave lovely out?
You did. You just said talented.
I think you said lovely, talented, but you didn't call me intelligent, and I don't appreciate that.
I think it was more lalented.
I think intelligent was implied, but lovely not necessarily. So please, the lovely and talented Jackie Lechtoldze.
And intelligent.
And intelligent.
Thank you.
Lovely, intelligent.
Although if we've learned nothing from Bill Cosby, intelligence... doesn't really matter.
Aww.
So yeah, okay, so we're recording this podcast and it's going to drop, and presumably by the time this drops, like six more people will have weighed in on the Bill Cosby thing about...
Well, that's the thing, every hour there's a new one. You know, I think it's up to 20 or so. But of course it's hundreds. Every woman that this man has ever met, apparently he has done something to harass, grope, attack, rape, abuse in some fashion. Every woman.
Except
his wife.
And he's managed to say like nothing about it on the record.
His wife is the only one he's never had sex with.
that makes total sense. Good family man, right?
That's the thing. See, that's what I love about this story. I love the fact that the dichotomy here, this guy forever was this paragon of virtue, of fatherly family values, you know, lecturing, putting, you know, wagging a finger in people's faces. And on the other side, here he is leading this just horribly sinister criminal double life that completely invalidates all of it.
I feel like that makes so much sense, though.
It does.
It's so Hollywood in a very, I don't know, it's almost stereotypical awful way.
That's just what I'm used to now. It's the people who are most about like family values and conservatism.
Like,
who
the
are
biggest homophobes are the one doing guys in the bathroom.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the Larry like Craigs are the ones who are speaking out against gay rights and then secretly, you know, touching guys at the stall next to them.
What is the quote? I always mess it up, but like the lady doth protest too much, right? So just sort of like when you're too loud.
I think you got
is
that right? That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
I don't know. Just, who's,
you know, you talk too
that
much about something. Oh, guys, I'm so glad I'm blushing. Yeah.
What a lovely, talented, intelligent thing
oh
to say.
God,
I'm telling
guys.
You.
Oh, shucks.
And historically accurate.
Yeah. So it's like I feel like when you talk about it too much, like you're making too big of a deal about it, then you're trying to prove something,
right.
And it's just unnecessary. Just why don't you just let your actions speak louder? Than your whole.
And it's also the guys who, like, anybody makes a gay joke at their expense. They're like, no, I'm not gay. What are you talking about? You're gay. Nobody, gay people should be kicked out of this country. It's, yeah, you're talking way too much about it.
I just can't get enough of this story. I mean, it's just, the thing is, he thinks silence is going to get him out of it. I, you know, silence and
that
his
works
lawyer.
For some people. Yeah, not in this situation.
No, what is he going to do? I apologize for and I apologize for the 35 previous years where I was a monster.
Well,
he doesn't apologize. He doesn't care.
No, that's the thing is he can't do a mea culpa interview with Oprah. He can't.
Yeah, he's 77. He now realized
he can't do 28 days in rehab. I mean, what the fuck can he do?
Well, everybody has short memories, and I saw somebody post some status on Facebook saying, so I heard Woody Allen called at Bill Cosby and said, just try to wait this out. It's all going to blow over soon.
Yeah, that's true.
Stephen Collins, I think, already sent him a thank you card.
Yeah, everybody's forgotten about that by now. Although it's not like they're ever going to show Seventh Heaven in syndication again.
No. But that's the thing is short memories, yes. You think there's some things people can't come back from. You know,
I think it's different.
Child molestation you can't come back from. I didn't think you could come back from the Michael Vick thing, electrocuting dogs, but he came back.
Right.
So how is that even possible that Michael Vick was able to make it?
Yeah. People don't care about what kind of person you are, though. I really don't
think
there's
the quote of the day.
Yeah.
People don't care what kind of person you are.
They don't. The populace does not.
They much prefer the bullshit image.
Yeah. They just care about the entertainment value. So at the end of the day, I think people do forget about your moral character.
Yeah. At a certain point, once the whole Bill Cosby train got rolling, I think people just want to jump on the outrage train and be like, I'm even more outraged than these other people who are saying how outraged they are.
Right, and I'm outraged at the women now for coming and popping my balloon and my all of my years of loving this guy. Now I'm a fraud too.
Or at the very least, you outraged at women for waiting so long. I've seen people.
No, but a lot of women have been talking about it, I think, and I think
they
it's
had
very,
to wait.
But it's a very hard thing to talk about. I mean, no one's going to listen to you. No one cares. I mean, you're probably bullied into silence.
Yeah,
everybody
who did try to go public, nothing came of it, except for people assuming, why are you trying to smear this American icon?
And one guy, that one woman whom he settled with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an admission of guilt right there. You don't settle with someone if you're innocent.
That's not true.
I
believe it. I believe that it's... that he did it and he settled because he really did it. But people settled because
Yappers
of the cost
go away.
Of it. Yeah. You people will settle because of the cost.
You don't countersue for defamation?
Not once you settle.
I mean, but I was going to say, why wouldn't you just sue someone for ruining your good name?
It's a lot to get into a lawsuit like that. It's just it's a huge emotional toll to be in a lawsuit, and it takes a lot of time, money, expense, attention. And a lot of the time people for them, the cost of that is not,
maybe
high enough, yeah.
So
because not everyone.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Because not everyone is that concerned about being that righteous. You know, mm-hmm. some people are righteous and they'll become very litigious. But a lot of people are just want to get on with their lives. So it's easier for him just to say he was innocent. It would be easier for him just to settle out with somebody, pay them $100,000 instead of spending $200,000 on his lawyers.
Yeah, I honestly, I do believe that.
Going to
court and trying to keep pressing it is such an ordeal. I think many people
just
give up.
It's better because the thing is, once you're going to court too, a lot of stuff is going to be public, and then it's a lot of effort to try to get things under seal and out of the public eye. But you just want to have as little as possible in front of the public eye. So, you know, you see a lot of court filings that show up on the Hollywood Reporter here or there. People just want to keep that stuff out of people's minds.
It's not going to work now, of course, now that the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah. I don't know what he'll do now.
Now it's going to be a class action suit.
I know, seriously. There is enough for a class. I forget what it is, 21 people or something,
they're pretty much there.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm far from surprised Netflix pulled their Bill Cosby special. It would have been hilarious if they had kept it a hate watch.
And NBC decided not to go forward.
Yeah,
with their new Cosby series. You know, I actually am friendly with the guy who was the publicist on the Cosby Show. He's not even at NBC anymore. But his take on Cosby was that, and everyone's at NBC was, and besides the fact that he was a prick to everybody, was that he was himself racist, and he was actually very anti white, and felt like he'd achieved what he achieved in spite of white America.
I've heard that, but I also know about he's kind of anti-black in a way too, and he'd kind of gone on these speaking tours about
the bootstraps.
Yeah, all you young black men, why don't you pull your pants up and stop wearing those
ironic for him to say pull your pants up.
Exactly, right? And just be like, all the problems in black America are basically your fault. And I really never liked the guy just after that.
Oh, yeah, no. He, but you talk about do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Okay, well, it's hard. It's
I
hard
like to, that. We should have a little round table from time
I like
to
it
time.
Too.
Yeah.
With your dad.
It's hard to find much to say about the Bill Cosby thing, except, man, what an asshole this guy is.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And also, of course, just the massive failure of the media for not picking up on it sooner.
Well,
the,
that's intentional.
The media felt that they, the people that did know, that they were going to be crucified if they did bring it out.
Yeah.
So everybody was cowed into silence by this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Now his attorney is threatening to sue the media for continuing to bring this up. That is
good luck.
On the list of legal strategies, that has to be at the very bottom of effectiveness.
Sue the media. That how could that possibly go wrong?
Who's his lawyer again?
I think he's got three or four of them, which also is telling.
Right. But I don't know if you just remembered specifically which lawyer was threatening to sue.
Marty Singer is his name.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. He actually...
I thought it was, but I wasn't sure.
He also represented Jennifer Aniston in an action against a couple friends of mine who were paparazzi photographers.
Oh, uh-huh.
When they shot pictures of her nude on her deck when she was going out with Vince Vaughn.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
And you know, threatened millions of dollars in lawsuits against them. And the thing is, they didn't want them to be published, not because they were together and not because they were in various states of undress. It was because they were smoking weed.
Oh, that's funny.
Now it can be told for the first time.
What a quaint era. A, when celebrities were scared of being seen smoking weed.
Uh-huh.
And B, when any celebrity was scared of having their nude pictures leaked, now that like half of A-list Hollywood has had their nude pictures leaked.
I was going to say, in print, as if anybody prints anything anymore.
Right. Just an era of no privacy for anybody now.
Yeah, but, for no privacy.
Woo-hoo.
And speaking of no privacy and countersuits and blackmail and all that fun stuff, we should get into the movies soon. First, we do have to do a segment where we ask our guest questions loosely inspired by the movie. It's a segment called Inside Ray Richmond. So when I was playing that clip during the sound check, Dad said, "Hey, that's a song from another Coen Brothers movie." Like, he never listened to this podcast.
I don't think
he has.
I
totally have.
Because it always happens in the first, like, 10 minutes of the show. It means you're not even listening 10 minutes.
No, I was simply commenting. I was simply keeping up a little bit of conversation, a little chatter. Okay. Had nothing to do with it being new for me.
Okay.
I'm standing by that.
Sure. I'm not getting involved in this family dispute, so...
I have listened to many
of these. You should be acting as my lawyer and be like, yeah, admit what you did.
Adding to the mystery. I was accepting the mystery, if you will.
Ooh.
All right, you're back on track now.
Thank you.
Thank you for working that in. Whew. So, a number of the main characters in this film, burn after reading, work at a gym called Hard Bodies.
Yes.
What has your experience been of gyms? Have you ever gone to a gym regularly? Do you like going to the gym? If you're exercising.
I don't. I have gone to the gym several times. I'm actually a member of a gym right now that I don't really use the membership, even though it's costing me every month.
Me too. Yeah.
Say, guys.
What they count on, of course,
right.
Is that more people don't go.
And when my credit card changed, when I got a new credit card number, I didn't cancel at the gym. Thinking that, okay, well, that just kind of means I'm canceled, right?
It didn't invalidate it, did
That
it?
Means that the plan is over. Yeah, of course, soon, like, debt collectors caught up with me and said, like, you still owe this much money that you stopped paying to the gym.
Because you had, like, a two-year contract
Or
something?
Oh, Josh. Well,
no, because I had an indefinite contract, and when I tried to call...
You didn't terminate it.
Yeah, when I tried to call to cancel the membership, they said, you have to come into the gym to cancel it. And
that was in the fine print,
of course. I don't want to do that.
Oh, my God.
So I just paid them, and I figured, okay, now I paid them, maybe they'll stop.
So because you didn't go into the gym, you decided ruining my credit was a good alternative.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
You taught me well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is your fault.
Boy,
you raised him.
I really didn't think this was going to come. It was going to come to this when we were talking about scenes from the movie. But you know what? I loved the fact that this was in a gym. In fact, it was called Hard Bodies. And the idea that, you know, that this horrible situation, you know, this is new to Hard Bodies, this kind of thing. The
absurdity. We don't stand for this sort of thing at Hard Bodies.
Richard Jenkins was fantastic.
Yeah, he was good.
He was a high point in this. But, okay, so, but yeah, I see you exercise. It's not like you don't like exercising. Do you just not like exercising with other people?
No, I do sometimes. It's just, you run into so many narcissistic people there.
Right.
And it's all about look at me, look at the mirror. You know, they have more mirrors per capita in a gym than pretty much anywhere in America.
But the mirror is to look at yourself, right? It's so you can stare at yourself as you're exercising.
It's so that you know if your form is correct, guys.
I think it's inside your soul.
Yeah, so you can stare yourself straight in the eye and be like, I am a warrior. Mm-hmm. I'm like a leopard. I'm an animal.
Exactly. You know,
getting the adrenaline pounding.
And I hate just the whole rah-rah, sis, boom, bah. Let's do it together. Okay, 1, 2, 3, part of the gym. I prefer to do it in the dark while practicing my own form of self-loathing on a treadmill.
I have like just sad guitar music playing and I'm in a darkened room slowly walking on a treadmill.
Right. I don't want the gym experience to be positive, and it's impossible for it not to be.
No. I motivate myself by being like, you're just a disgusting slob.
Exactly.
Wow.
Why aren't you in shape?
Oh my God. internal monologue.
How are you supposed to get on the treadmill when everybody's saying, you're worth it, you're good?
Yeah.
Then you're like, okay, well, I don't need the treadmill.
Yeah, right. You do. Oh, because you want to make yourself better. Yeah.
Oh.
Problem solved.
Oh,
thanks,
geez,
everybody.
I'm outnumbered. This is so annoying.
I have no illusions about better.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
Okay, so Jackie, do you go to the gym?
I don't because
so
I...
So what? Then why are you talking...
But... Okay.
But if you did...
But... Here's why I don't go to the gym. It's okay. Not because of
hatred. Oh, yeah, please enlighten us.
Well, first of all, cardio-wise, I have a dog, so there is no way you will see me on a treadmill because when I'm running or walking, it's with my dog, so I don't need to go to do cardio.
Oh, they don't have dogs in your gym.
No, they're not going to let my husky in the gym, although if they have a gym that allows dogs, I would die of happiness.
I don't know this for a fact, but I'm so 100% positive there's a dog-friendly gym.
I don't think so. I'm talking about a dog-friendly gym that I can put my dog on the treadmill. But that's also not as fun. I like the fresh air.
Your dog
air.
Likes the treadmill?
I have no idea. I'm just saying,
I know for
my
a fact,
dog needs exercise, so I'm not going to exercise without my dog.
When I was doing research for the quiz, which I'm not going to say what the subject of the quiz is yet, I will say that I know for a fact there is dog yoga.
Yes, I know that too. But that I'm not talking about that. My dog is a husky. She needs to run.
That's LA squared.
She needs to run. My dog needs to run. But I am going to be joining the gym that's two buildings from my office because one of my coworkers goes. So now it's motivating me to go. And I'm just going to go like after I do cardio in the morning and I'm going to meet him there and I'm going to do like exercise, like, you know, like the machines and stuff like that. But I've been threatening that for a month to myself. But to be fair, I did go on a trip and then I came back and then I was sick. So far I haven't been able to. And next week is Thanksgiving. So December is when I start.
Nobody starts a gym regimen in December.
I will.
No one
I'll
in the history
do it.
Of the world.
Yeah. I'll be the first.
So even before you even do a New Year's resolution to be like, I'm going to the gym, you're just like,
I will. You know
whatever.
Why? I will. So that New Year's, it's not even a resolution anymore. It's just keeping up the habit. Sorry, guy. I'm sorry to be positive about working out.
Look.
You are why I don't go to the gym.
Look, I'm pro exercise too. And I go through periods where exercise
that sounds like
where,
it.
I go through periods where I exercise and periods where I don't. But even when I'm pro-exercise, I don't necessarily like the gym because I like to listen to a podcast or something, and it's annoying to listen to that and also hear whatever blaring techno music they've got at the gym.
Yeah, and also I just listen to my iPod, too.
But you're hearing multiple sounds, and you have to deal with other people using the machines, and it's a pain in the ass.
I just don't have all those machines at home. So just for me, it's a matter of like, I want to use those like inner outer leg machines.
But you can get the same workout if
you're... No, I can't. Those machines where you like press the inside of your thighs and the outside of your thighs and then like your glute. I mean, it's just the whole leg machine thing.
Like between either like if you buy a couple pairs of dumbbells and either use those or use exercises that rely on your own body weight, you can get pretty much anything done at home that you can get done at a gym.
It's very hard for inner and outer thighs, which is a huge concern for women.
I think there's... Like thigh lifts?
The things press your, like, you're pressing in or pressing out, and it's like with a machine that you sit in that has like, it's a, I don't know.
You
I don't
get
know
a,
how you would
like
do
a thigh master. This is the summer's thigh master.
I guess. No, I don't like any of this.
I can't hear the voices in my head when I'm at the gym.
There we go.
Oh, the sad voices.
The one saying how disgusting I am.
That's the real problem.
So, Harry Farrer, played by George Clooney, spends much of the film working on a unique home construction project.
Glad we brought that up soon.
Yes, it was.
What's the most ambitious home construction project you've ever attempted?
I love the tie-in.
Oh, wow. It certainly wasn't that.
I didn't think it would be.
The intercourse machine?
I don't know if it had a name.
No.
No, they had a name. It was just a visionary thing.
Ambitious home project. Wow. I just, you know, I'm not big on ambitious home project. I would say, you know, deciding not to eat in a day would be a big home project for me.
Okay. Have you ever had to assemble furniture or anything?
Oh, I have the Jewish gene, and anything I attempt, within 20 minutes, I will be throwing tools and screaming at the top of my lungs, these instructions are bullshit! It's all about me.
I feel like I have childhood memories of this.
Oh, yeah. And then I'll do it, and then, of course, whatever woman I happen to be with, wife, girlfriend, etc., will go, oh, you mean this? And then it's together in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And if I do any hammering, I will smash at least one finger. So yes, I don't do projects. My biggest nightmare is coming home with like three things under my arm from IKEA. They don't have any words on those instructions. I don't know if you ever noticed. It's pictures of things.
Yeah.
And then if the only instructions would be in Finnish or something.
Finnish.
Because
they're
it's
Swedish.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Or, because it's
one of those Scandinavian places.
Well, because that's so easy to assemble that you don't need words. You can just put piece A12 into slot G5 and
it is never
boom, it's
easy.
Done.
It is never so simple for me that pictures are enough.
I think I might, not necessarily the screaming and throwing tools part, but in terms of not being able to build furniture from simple instructions, I might have inherited.
My greatest home project is making a phone call to someone that knows how to put things together and having them come over and do it and paying them $25.
Aww.
There's a desk that I
Isn't
bought.
That's sad. There's so macho.
It's me too. Look, the whole Richmond family.
He unfortunately got the gene from me.
There's a desk that I bought a couple years ago that I think I just didn't know how to screw the pieces in properly, but when I finished it, it looked like the desk was properly assembled.
It looked like a desk.
But you had like seven screws in your hand left.
But I had a bunch of pieces missing, and then a couple weeks later, it just started like tilting to one side.
Oh, God.
Instead of taking it apart, which seemed like way too much work, I just kept it, and now I just have like a tilty desk that mostly works.
Oh, dear.
It's good enough.
All those pieces actually have a purpose. And you're right. I always end up with three or four of them left.
But they should put extras in the box just in case, like you lose one.
So
like
it's idiot proof.
Yeah, so it's idiot proof, like for people like us.
Oh,
Jackie, do you
complete opposite of you guys? I love building stuff.
Your Russian jeans? I imagine you like cut down like trees and build.
Yeah, I throw one over my shoulder.
Like Paul Bunyan.
Yeah.
And then carve like a sofa out of a tree.
Yeah. No, I love assembling stuff. I'm really into it. Like, I think most recently I got new nightstands. I put those together. That was fun. I think probably the biggest thing I put together was like a bookshelf, which was like the box was really heavy. So I guess that was impressive about that. It's not like I've done like really huge things, but like my grandpa builds a lot of stuff. My grandparents are both engineers and like,
of course they were.
Yeah. And so
you have a family of building.
Right. And so my grandpa could build anything and he likes doing that. And so I like home project kind of things, but I'm like very do it yourself for anything and everything. So I like doing that with home stuff or like beauty stuff or whatever.
And you watch This Old House and
I don't actually. Yeah. I watch nothing like that. It's weird.
You just know it's just inherent.
Like, no, I guess. I don't know. I'm just good at figuring that kind of stuff out, but I'm just like that across the board. Like, I've gotten a manicure like twice in my life. I always do things on my own. So I'm just one of those people.
I mostly like that. I'm all about the DIY independent do it yourself spirit. It's just there's some things where I do it myself, but I shouldn't be doing it myself. Yeah.
The reason I never got you a bike when you were a kid is because I didn't know how to put it together.
Really?
Well, partly.
You could have bought a pre-made bike.
I would have had somebody come over, but it would have been humiliating. Because that's the ultimate father-son bonding experience.
Yeah.
Dad putting the bike together and then steering you down the sidewalk as you fall.
We played catch a few times, so we were never like a go-to-do-sports kind of family.
You didn't seem to...
I wasn't really a
catch
kid.
I tried to get you into Little League.
Oh, well, I mean...
And you were the one that always stood there at the plate, you know, after you hit it 3 feet and everybody yelled go, and then you started running in the wrong direction.
Oh, you don't have to tell my humiliating t-ball story.
I'm sorry.
You can cut it. It's your show.
I was just saying in theory. I wasn't saying him specifically.
Dad was an assistant t-ball coach when I was, how old was I? Like
5 or 6.
5 or 6.
Aww.
T-ball where they don't pitch the ball to you. It's just it's on a tee. So,
familiar.
But I still had trouble hitting the ball.
The
stationary on the t-ball. One time I managed to hit the ball and I was so excited that I ran to third base. Well,
but of course from my perspective, hey, at least he got to third base. Thank you.
Okay, well, since you made me tell that story, I'm gonna make you tell this story. Dad, at the end of this film, Osborne Cox breaks into his old house and finds Richard Jenkins standing there. Have you ever had a mishap trying to break into your own house?
I think you remember that I did.
I think I do know the answer to this question. But
and I'll even show my war wound to Jackie. Yes, I was locked out of one of my condos, and it's about, I don't know, 12 years ago or so, mm-hmm. 13 years ago. And so I realized that I could get in if I sort of, there was a little window guard, like one of those wooden guards, you know, mm-hmm. that... So you couldn't slide the window open. Right. I thought I could just nudge that a little bit out of the way, and then I could slide the window open. And so I nudged it, and just as the guard fell free, my arm went through the window, through the glass. And
why did it go through like that?
It was very thin glass. I didn't realize how thin.
Oh, whoa!
And it went through, and then I looked into my arm, and I went, "Oh, so that's what my bones and veins look like."
Oh,
and
God,
blood is pouring out. Of course, I didn't think, "Wow, wrap it up." So you keep the blood sort of, you know, sort of centralized in a spot. I just said, "Must get to hospital." So I'm running as the wound is gushing. Blood, you know, trailing it down through the apartment, down the stairs.
I mean,
you had
the instinct get to hospital.
I went 3 minutes from Cedar Sinai.
But you didn't do any sort of basic care for yourself before.
No, I didn't wrap it up. I didn't think, why? I don't have a towel. Of course, I could have taken my shirt off and done that.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me. So I'm driving there. You know, by the time I get to the hospital, my car looks like the car in Pulp Fiction when the guy's brains exploded.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen Pulp Fiction.
Oh, well, now I just ruined that scene for you. And run into the emergency room, and they take you really quickly when you've got a spurting limb. They don't make you wait for a long time in the, well, you know, they're just like, okay, come right this way, sir. Yes, right here. And I ended up getting 24 stitches.
Oh, my God.
And they put me out. I had surgery to close this.
Whoa.
My wife at the time shows up in that room with a policeman.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, well, why is a cop with you, honey? Well, it turned out the cop went because when they saw glass and blood at my apartment and not me,
yeah.
my Russian neighbors assumed a murder had occurred.
Oh, my God.
And they called the cops, and the cops had to check and make sure that this murder, this is like a Coen Brothers scene, that the murder had not actually taken place, that I really was telling the truth, that I just put my arm through the window.
Oh, my God.
And here I was having surgery.
Wow.
It practically is a Coen Brothers scene.
I like it.
Yeah. Just like murder charges piling up based on somebody's idiocy.
It was just unbelievably idiotic. I paid somebody $300 to detail the car, and they got all the blood out.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Do you know that's a deal?
And when I hired him, I said, don't ask me how this happened. And he, of course, thought, well, because somebody had been killed in the car. I'm like, no, it's because I'm a klutz.
Right.
Like, oh, sure.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
I'll keep it under. I
tripped and fell.
Level.
Now there's blood everywhere.
Cash only, right? You don't want anybody to know about this. One of those days.
It's just between us, pal.
All right. Well, as long as we're talking about Coen Brothers movie, let's dive into the movie of the week in a segment called The Big Review Ski. Yeah! Yeah! Oh, yeah! So, Burn After Reading came out in 2008, and it's got like easily the Coen Brothers' biggest Hollywood cast. A-level across the board, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, John Malkovich, Tilda Swinton, like an amazing cast,
amazing
Frances McDormand.
Cast.
And it's also, it's the last movie in their studio comedy trilogy. Started in Intolerable Cruelty, then The Lady Killers, which was somehow even worse. I've come around. I now agree with you that it actually was worse than Intolerable Cruelty.
Not their most successful triumvirate of movies.
It's weird because it was, I mean, ironically, it was them kind of their sellout moves, them trying to make movies in like the Hollywood studio system.
But it didn't feel, it still felt like a Coen Brothers movie.
This one did. The previous movies didn't as much, felt a little bit more sterile. This one did. And it was a pretty big hit for them. I mean, all the star power definitely helps.
I thought the performances were all fantastic.
Some of the performances were fantastic. I guess you came in here, the first thing you said, Josh, was, Josh, God, I love this movie.
I did.
I knew that was going to happen, I was not going to love it.
And I had a feeling, Jackie, you were not going to like this movie, based on the fact you haven't really liked most of their comedies so far.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even rank this as their most successful comedy.
Most of their movies are comedies.
Yeah, more than half.
I don't like them.
And I don't get it.
Well, they're too like gimmicky for me, but...
You're about realism. I know that.
You don't have
the imagination to appreciate their comedies.
No, I just...
Josh, putting you in your place.
Nope, absolutely not. No. Yeah, no, I mean, but that's a tangent and then like overarching theme that I don't like how they deal with some of their human relationships a lot of the time.
What about this movie did you hate?
Okay, off the bat, hate the music. Very aggravating to me because it was bad.
Yeah, let's talk about the music a little bit.
We can do that.
So the Coen brothers talked to Carter Burwell, their usual composer, and said, we're going for like a John Frankenheimer political thriller type score.
But it was ugly music. I can't even think of a better word than ugly.
I thought the music was ironic.
It was.
I think it was. It could have been ironic, and I agree that it probably was intended to be ironic, but it was actually bad music. Like, the tone was off. It wasn't good. It was annoying, and that's what I didn't like.
Because some of the reviews for this film were mostly positive. A lot of people really loved this movie. So actually, you and me, Jackie, are in the minority.
Very interesting.
So you hated it too, Josh.
It's definitely one of my least favorites.
And then when we started watching it, I realized I had seen it before, and I've actually seen the whole thing before.
I've forgotten most of what happened.
Right. There was like a few things.
You blocked it out like a traumatic experience.
Well, I forget all movies I see. I really do. So, I mean, I've forgotten some of the movies that we already watched in the last 2 months. Like, I just forget details of movies for whatever reason. But this one I saw a few years ago, probably like in 2009 or something, like pretty soon after it came out, with a friend who forced me to watch it. I think probably because I dislike Brad Pitt and George Clooney, and he was like, no, 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 no. Like, you have to watch this.
Well, it's so unlike their usual persona.
Yeah, no, it is not. It's definitely uncharacteristic.
They did great, though. I liked their performance. I liked a lot of the characters' performances. I just didn't like the movie altogether.
Well, to finish up the music for a second, because on a lot of the reviews for the film, they specifically pointed out the music as a high point.
Ugh.
Thinking, man, it's great, just ironic, a great ironic percussion-heavy score that kind of underlined the fact it's like a parody of political thrillers. I kind of agree with you that a lot of the music sounded a little bit canned. I definitely got the ironic counterpoint they were going for, but I think it could have been executed better.
I think canned is fine if you mean that it's like cheesy.
Music,
yeah,
didn't,
I mean, it was a little
me.
Cheesy.
I thought it fit the tone.
I think cheesy is fine. I just think it literally sounded like bad music, like ugly, bad, not melodic, like not good. And I know that political thriller music is not like...
Yes, you know, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, but it was off. It was off. Like, what you just did was better than what they... I just, I don't know.
I should have scored the movie just all a cappella.
Yeah.
Burnett, you're reading.
It would have been funnier that way, too.
why doesn't anybody do a score like that, where somebody's just going bum, 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 bum?
That would be great.
I think they actually parodied that on South Park. They did like a version of Inception where there was just a guy going like...
South Park has done everything.
They've
done everything at least once.
But the one QA liked, actually, during Frances McDormand's first date, it's this kind of like sad piano score. It was actually kind of funny because, you know, it's a comedy, but they kind of underline these like sad beats for this particularly pathetic date. I thought it worked.
Oh, that was the pathetic date from hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, I don't know. I still just don't like it. But very funny scene.
I just loved the whole idea that everything was done so she could have 4 cosmetic surgeries.
Right.
I thought that drove
the whole thing.
Yeah, but that was like too easy of a justification in my opinion, which is maybe fine, but it was just kind of like...
It's
just an incredibly shallow justification.
Yeah, like I'm gonna give these secrets to the Russians because I need surgeries. It's like,
right,
what are you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, her whole drive for all this some fairly reprehensible stuff she does throughout the movie. If there were in fact like state secrets on that disc, she just like committed treason in order to get
right. Yeah, it was really
see that's beautiful, wonderful, hilarious irony.
Yeah,
and just insane, just complete absurdity. The fact that it all revolves and that it all is set inside this stupid gym. I mean,
right.
I loved all the counterpoints and Brad Pitt dancing like with his headphones on.
Yeah, that was
a major highlight. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, I'll pick that out as a highlight for sure. That's my favorite performance in the film is Brad Pitt is just a complete idiot.
Yeah.
completely oblivious, but playing it perfectly. And like in his scenes where he's talking to Osborne Cox, he's so transparent. And you can see...
And the fact he kept saying, hello, Osborne Cox.
Yes.
Yeah. His face was very expressive.
Yeah, you could, the fact that you could completely understand his train of thought at all moments, I thought was what really made
it impressive. Like so many stupid people we know.
Yes.
Where their face gives away literally everything they do.
Right, that he's trying to be this, like, cool blackmailer, but he's actually just, like, yeah, completely giving everything away.
And, you know, forgetting the fact that this was the ultimate angry, scary John Malkovich performance. Oh, my God.
I loved him.
He was so angry and scary and pissed off at the world.
But yeah. Also, but also completely stupid and pathetic.
Right.
Like, yeah.
He thought he was so much smarter than everyone.
Right.
I liked his first scene, though, and he obviously did it several times, too, but I just looked like he was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I don't know. I just thought it was so, like, what happens in my mind a lot of the time, like, internal monologue. But then he'd actually said it to people. I thought that was really funny. Like, I just liked that over and over again.
So just to keep a running tally of the characters you've identified with so far in Coen Brothers.
Yeah, do it. It's fine.
Barton Fink.
Yep.
Gare from Fargo.
I don't identify with him. I just love him, and that's separate.
And this character.
I don't identify with anyone but Barton Fink the most.
Okay. Just, yeah. Basically anybody who feels like they're better than everybody around.
That is not true. I identify with a certain type of neuroses.
Somebody who can put things together.
Sure. Yeah, people who are good at assembling things.
Stop it. Oh my God. Barton Fink is really neurotic. Mm-hmm. And there's parts of that I hugely identify with, like the inability to like get the work done and being a snob about stuff that you should not be a snob about. Right. I get it. I know that I'm like that with art. Like, that's fine. Or like art forms or whatever. That happens to me. So I can identify with that. I don't identify with Garrett. I just think he was like unbelievable, like crazy good performance. Okay, and he was a psychopath with like human undertones. It was fascinating. And Peter Stormare, so whatever. And then last time for No Country, I didn't identify with Chigurh, but I was like,
thank God.
Yeah, I actually hated Chigurh, so I just want to clarify that.
Good.
And then, yeah, I know. A+ for my moral character.
Yeah.
And then this time, I just thought it was really funny that he was so aggressive because the stuff he said, like the stuff when he was like telling people to like fuck off, or like the way he would be like,
he was
in people's
like,
face
right.
was really funny.
Uncontrolled.
Right. And I mean, thought that was great. It was so funny. I didn't identify with him, but I was like, that's stuff that happens in my head that I will never say aloud. And I thought it was so great to see him say it aloud.
It can be very cathartic to see those kind of uninhibited performances.
Yeah.
Like, this is somebody telling it like it is.
Yeah.
And now that he made the comparison to Barton Fink, actually, there are those kind of similarities, you know, kind of a deluded intellectual who thinks he's a little bit smarter than he actually is.
I didn't like Barton Fink, though.
That's fine.
No, it's just interesting, the comparisons you're making. That was possibly my least favorite.
Oh, interesting.
See, I love that just because there's so much symbolism and so many different like themes and undertones. And
yeah, I don't think I loved the movie overall, but I really liked a lot of parts of it.
There's some great, crazy, surreal what the fuck moments that happen in that too, which makes it fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. I know we're not talking about that, but yeah, I kind of hated it. It was bored the shit out of me.
I won't necessarily say...
It took a while, you know, building the characters, and you know, the first half an hour was not my favorite.
Yeah, I'll actually say that...
Then I felt like the exposition was tough, but it kicked in after that.
The first act was, I think, the worst part. They're setting up these characters, but they're not necessarily giving the characters a lot of actually funny business to do.
No. And I still wasn't even sure what the tone was going to be because of that first half hour.
Right. The very first thing you see is that very, I think, deliberately cliched, you know, shot from outer space. And we're zooming in on the CIA building and you see the ticker tape on the bottom.
Right.
Like CIA headquarters, Washington, D.C. You know, setting us up for this is like a Bourne Identity type thriller.
Right.
It could have been funnier. I think that's my overall complaint is that the way it was set up and
they
didn't
were trying
know
to make it very
go.
Dry and subtle.
They didn't do a good job of that, in my opinion.
But because they're trying to make it dry and subtle, but they're making it...
Then there's too much of those dramatic elements, so then it doesn't...
But at the same time, they're trying to make like a silly farce where nothing means anything.
Well, and that's why the music's swelling and then and the zooming in on the characters, and it's sort of like, and nothing's really happening at the moment.
Right.
That just, I laughed out loud 3 or 4 times.
I think the problem for me, though, speaking of the music too, is that the music was a little bit like... Because to me, it had an ugly sound. It made the tone very, like, sort of not fun. So I think, like, when I was watching it, like, it was harder to connect with what should have been funnier moments. Even though there were some very funny performances, like, all the characters had some really great, like, very funny things that they did, but yeah. I just didn't feel it.
But
that
it didn't
much.
All quite. It didn't all quite gel together to me.
Yeah.
And I thought the tone was kind of all over the place. Like, it's a movie that didn't quite know what it wanted to be. Did it want to be like a dry political thriller satire? Or did it want to be this ridiculous, crazy thing? Or and like from character to character, it kind of jumped between those tones.
Yeah.
It was a series of. That's kind of what I liked about it. It was a series of disconnected kind of character vignettes.
Actually, it's fairly unique among Coen movies in that there's not a single central protagonist the whole film is built around. It really is like
everybody had their moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it was going to be built around anyone, it would have been Frances McDormand.
Probably. Just because it seems like she's like, I don't know, just going back to Fargo, she seems like just a natural protagonist for them.
She's such a great actress.
Yeah.
Oh my God, is she good. You know,
yeah, she is good.
She was so, she was so over the top, but over the top in a kind of believable way.
It's interesting. It's kind of the dark side of her character in Fargo. Like, she's got kind of the same optimism and the same kind of go-getting determination to do whatever she wants, except instead of trying to catch a killer, she's trying to get plastic surgery.
It was much more diluted, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, a much dumber character, but with that same kind of, you know, happy-go-lucky Midwestern spark animating her.
The thing I will say is she didn't seem like someone that would work in a gym.
No.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that kind of bothered me.
I mean,
about
it goes
that.
With the fact that she's so obsessed with her own body. But other than that.
But besides that, she just didn't seem like a human being that would be employed by a gym.
That is true.
You know?
Actually, that's a very good point.
Richard Jenkins did.
Yeah.
He did. She didn't. And Brad Pitt, of course. I've known that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Frances, not so much.
One other thing I loved about the Brad Pitt thing is that, yes, he's such an idiot, but he knows about, like, when he has that conversation with Osborne Cox in the car, and Osborne says, your scheme is so dumb, I'm going to, like, have your head spinning faster than the tire on
the
your shit bicycle.
Storm is going to hit hard.
And his response to see last, he's like,
Schwinn.
You think that's a Schwinn?
I know, that was a Beavis and Butthead moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, okay, this guy knows a couple things about a couple things in just his own little deluded world. He just doesn't care about anything outside of that.
Like, the idea, that he would seize on that.
Right.
And I think that's what eventually sent Osborne over the edge, and he had to hit him. The fact that he hit him, it was just like... That kind of came out of nowhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously by the end, this is a very violent guy. He kills a guy with an axe.
Ugh, that was the worst.
I thought he was going to get away. I certainly didn't think that was the end of the movie.
Yeah, but it turned out
it was a little abrupt.
Kind of was.
Right, and I didn't like that abrupt ending either.
I liked the ending least of the whole thing.
I
have to say. It was abrupt. But, the Coen brothers are sort of famous for abrupt endings.
Well, in No Country for Old Men, they had that very abrupt end for Josh Brolin's character that was kind of controversial.
Right.
Where they're just like, we're just going to cut away the fact that he dies. And something similar happens here, where it's just, okay, by the end of the movie, apparently Osborne is in a coma, Harry Farrer is on his way to Venezuela, Frances McDormand is
going to be abducted
by the CIA.
And we have to hear from
them. Yeah.
I love David Rashi, too.
Oh yeah, he's the guy who's talking to J.K. Simmons in those two scenes. Just he was the other CIA agent.
He was in the great cult series Sledgehammer. If you ever saw that,
never saw that.
Oh, it was actually great, with his trademark line, "Don't worry, I know what I'm doing." and you know, he would like blow up cars with bazookas and things, like in the middle of the city, and kill 100 people as a result, and then sort of apologize and move on. Almost everybody except Malkovich kind of went against type.
Yeah, Malkovich was playing type.
Malkovich
sure.
was playing Malkovich.
Yeah.
Except he's playing a dumber character than he usually plays. You know, and Cotteri is playing like the super genius.
Although he tried to come across as the genius.
Right.
That he just, you know, everyone else in his midst is, you know, is so
but yeah,
stupid.
He's definitely channeling that very Malkovich anger for sure. And
oh
just that feeling like, you are part of a league of morons. Everyone is morons. I've been dealing with these morons my entire life. It actually
it's
is
great.
Kind of empowering.
Yeah.
I love, no, I of course, his ultimate role is in being John Malkovich.
Oh, sure.
Which I don't remember, though I've seen.
Hilarious.
How could you not?
I don't remember
Jackie,
movies.
Jackie.
No, I just don't remember movies.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a tough
it's
one.
It's a sickness.
Wow.
Yeah, you should get checked
that
out.
That was a hugely memorable.
I don't remember books, I don't remember movies.
We did see that together.
It's just
that's
been too long,
movie.
I can't.
Richard Jenkins isn't playing against type either, actually. I've seen
that's
him do that
true.
Role before, but he's great in it. He, and he actually, I think
he's the saddest of all the characters.
He is.
But he also grounds the movie in like kind of recognizable human emotion, which I think this movie could have used more of.
It is.
I agree with that.
Such actually. Unrequited love for Francis.
Right. And he feels like a real person who's like, okay, I don't want anything to do with this ridiculous business you're doing. I just want to run hard bodies.
I love my favorite line in the whole movie was when the FBI was coming around looking for her. And he was like, no, I sent them away. You know, that's not how we do things at Hard Bodies.
Right. Right. He felt like a real human who was coming from a real place. And as much as I like some of the other performances, I didn't always feel like that. I'll pick out a performance I didn't like, which was George Clooney.
Yeah.
George Clooney, I thought, was really interesting. He was such a dislikable guy.
But it was such a weird... he's a sex addict. He's cheating on his wife with a couple different people. He's also like a U.S. Marshal who got expelled from the service for some reason.
It wasn't completely clear.
And he's also got like a couple other little tics, like he's like allergic to certain kinds of cheese, and
he's not allergic. He just has a thing that
his throat tightens up.
Right, his throat tightens up with cheese, and he's got like these weird little tics, and he likes exercising. And to me, he felt like just a bunch of weird character tics that didn't quite add up to a recognizable person. I don't know what he was trying to do. He seemed kind of all over the place to me.
Yeah, maybe.
He was too much of a caricature of an unclear thing.
He was a little all over the place, but I forgave it because I liked... Because there were little individual funny moments inside that. I still don't completely know how Brad Pitt... Whose gun went off to kill him?
That was George Clooney's gun.
It was Clooney's gun because I couldn't It happened so fast I couldn't even.
Such a Chekhov's gun moment. You know, it's like he says towards the beginning of the movie. Yeah, I'm a U.S. Marshal. I carry a gun, but I haven't fired it in 20 years.
Right.
Of course, he's going to fire it at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then to see his reaction. I thought his reaction after that was his best thing.
My single favorite moment in the whole movie is Clooney just shooting Brad Pitt in the head.
Because that was that was a real moment.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
His reaction was kind of real.
Yeah,
he was completely flipped out.
His reaction was completely real, and also just Brad Pitt's face just before he gets shot. He emerges from the closet, and he's got
Smile.
This big grin.
I just so wanted Brad Pitt, I'm saying, get the fuck out of the closet while he was in the shower.
Yeah.
During that 30 seconds.
Yeah,
he had a moment.
Yeah. He's just standing there.
What
was
he singing? I forgot what he was singing. He was singing a couple of really stupid songs.
I don't remember either.
I don't remember either.
But no, he's it's that kind of shocking moment of violence that can also kind of played for laughs that the Coen brothers do very well.
It was and it's shocking. I mean, the shocking nature of it helps the laughs.
Yeah. That's a moment that worked. Some of the moments didn't, like the reveal with the dildo chair.
It's such a funny concept.
It seemed a little out of character for him.
It kind of came out of nowhere and never really got brought up again.
And then why did he destroy the chair?
Well, because he was upset because his wife was leaving him.
Yeah.
I guess he was making it as a present for his wife.
Well, not really, because it was
sort of,
for
kind
anyone.
Because it was for anybody. And
that's
also,
the thing. I thought he was going to, you know, take his women there.
And also, I'm no expert, did it seem like the dodo was at an angle that would make it difficult to be used? Maybe it's just me reading too much into it.
Jackie, perhaps you can confirm
fine.
This.
I didn't spend a lot of time assessing the physics of it as we were watching
You didn't take a ruler and put it on the screen?
It seemed possible, though I don't know how possible.
I think maybe he needed to workshop it a little bit more. Go back to the blueprint.
I'm just not sure. I mean, I think it was fine.
All right.
I do.
In any case, that whole weird to talk about this with my dad here, but
we should have made this a video podcast so we could see your face.
We should have, yeah. It's just a moment that didn't quite work, and a lot of the moments that I think are supposed to be funny just didn't totally work. I agree with you. It's a movie that should have been funnier than it was because the setup is so funny, and the idea of a Coen Brothers movie like taking place in D.C.
Yeah, I think it was a missed opportunity. I think that's just my biggest problem.
I think it's my most disappointing Coen Brothers movie. It's a movie that...
I think I agree with that, actually.
Ever? Really?
Yeah.
It's very disappointing. I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed.
Because they gathered so much talent. Not only the acting, not only the actors, but they also, they did not use Roger Deakins as their usual cinematographer. They got Emmanuel Lubezki, who's the cinematographer for Gravity, if you saw that, and Birdman.
A higher-end guy?
Yeah, I mean, perhaps the best cinematographer working. But this movie just looked flat and desaturated and ugly.
It was very desaturated. It was ugly music, and it looked ugly. And I get that part of it was supposed
to
look
bleak. You say
that
like it's a bad thing.
It was supposed to be bleak. I get it. Right. But there was, it was too desaturated to the point that it just wasn't, like, it wasn't funny anymore to me. It wasn't funny enough. I didn't like that it was just like a few little moments that were kind of funny to me. I wish there was just like a more.
Yeah, there were surprising amount of moments that were actually just kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know, just Osborne drinking himself into his stupor and.
But I like that mix of. I like that sort of mix of genres in one, which keeps you off balance. And I think that's probably what they were trying for.
I think that is what they were trying for. I wish it had all congealed better, I guess. I saw a critic online who liked it a lot describe this as the Coen's midlife crisis movie. That basically all these are characters who are, like, you know, notably childless, and a lot of them have maybe been, like, recently fired.
That's true.
And just people kind of trying to figure out what they're doing with their lives, and so they're getting involved in weird crackpot schemes or writing their memoirs.
It is kind of a midlife crisis movie.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I related to it.
But I think that's where just a lot of the sadness of the film comes from.
Yeah. Because
there are, like, a lot of sad moments, and none of these characters seem like they're in great places, and none of them are especially likable. Except for Harry's wife.
Not likable, but I'm saying, like, she seemed fine. She was this, like, good-looking guy on the side, and she's like, okay, I'm done with...
She had the good-looking guy on the side.
Right, fucking around with Dermot Mulroney.
So, in other words, fucking around is okay as long as it's with somebody who's particularly good-looking.
Right.
I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying, for her character, I don't think it was sad for her. Like, her husband's cheating on her.
Right.
And she probably knew.
Right, and so she got somebody else on the side, which is not stupid. I'm just going to assume that he went, you know, Harry went first. I don't know. But, like, if you saw her when she was with Harry, she was, like, not very comfortable when they were at that first party. She was just kind of like,
Right.
And then when she was with the other guy, she was, like, this, like, power lady. Like, she just, like, got off of, you know, being on the news. And then, I don't know. Her vibe was, like, very different, too. So, I'm
right.
just saying.
You go, girl. She's, you know, make it happen.
I mean, I'm not exactly
happen.
Saying that, but I'm saying, like, it was a different
everybody
vibe. Like, I didn't feel sorry for her. Yeah, I just
movie,
didn't
basically.
Feel sorry for her. Like, I don't think she was in a bad position.
The only one who wasn't getting any was Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Brad Pitt and Richard Jenkins were only two likable characters, and also the two characters who just die.
It's so annoying.
It's a pretty dark
vision. And I think
the
message there is, if you're a good person, you will die violently and horribly.
Kinda, yeah. Makes it kind of a follow-up to No Country for Old Men, actually.
Yeah. I guess I can relate to this bleakness, nihilistic kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I don't know. I liked the collection of fun of moments that as a film it was disjointed, but I liked it. I liked the disjointed part of it.
Mm. I'll tell you something.
It left me feeling upbeat for some reason.
Oh, it did not make me feel like that at all.
I was so annoyed. I was like, Josh, I have to go. I don't feel well. I'm gonna go to sleep. Like, bye.
Yeah, no, I mean, I also saw somebody describe it as like blood simple, kind of updated with, you know, people in actual positions of power. It's just like a bunch of idiots trying to get one over on other idiots, which is a very typical Coen Brothers plot.
And it's sort of life itself, really.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the point, and I think it's actually why I liked the ending, and I liked the J.K. Simmons scenes that they threw in there.
He was good.
He was good. He was really funny.
He was J.K. Simmons.
He was just playing J.K. Simmons, but he was really funny.
Yeah.
And I think the point of that ending, where, like, we don't actually get to see any of the endings for the characters, we just hear about it kind of offhandedly, and then she gets her money for the plastic surgery anyways, and he just says, Jesus, what a clusterfuck. What did we learn? I guess we didn't really learn anything, except not to do it again.
And then we got
CIA
Man song at the end. Did you hear during the closing credits?
Oh, yeah, the track they played.
I love CIA Man. I want to get that on my iPod.
All right. Oh, yeah, I'll buy it for you. I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
Happy Hanukkah. But I like that because it did kind of wrap it up, like, hey, you know, all this whole movie that you've watched so far, it's completely meaningless. None of this is supposed to mean anything. So what did we learn? Nothing. And then it just ends.
What we learned was, it doesn't matter what you have to do to get cosmetic surgery, do it.
Right.
In the end, it will work out.
Right.
Well, okay, so as you say that, though, I mean, I guess that's making me think, like, there is something funny to the whole concept of, like, it doesn't mean anything. Like, we never figured it out. We didn't solve the mystery. We don't know what the point was.
Right.
We can't learn a lesson from it.
Yeah.
That's amusing, but I just don't think it was executed right.
Yes.
That's, like, I wish that was more...
That ending and that theme would have landed harder if the preceding movie would have been funnier.
Yep.
I think that's just all it comes down to is I wish it had
we're
been
so
funnier.
On the same page today.
I know.
It's so interesting.
It's, you, we're not always, we're definitely not always on the same page.
I feel like a movie about nothing.
No.
But we have the same complaints.
It kind of is the Seinfeld thing. Like, no hugging, no learning. Nothing, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not supposed to get any lessons out of this. It's just supposed to be a bunch of funny business.
Well, the lesson from today's show is you're both wrong. It's interesting.
Two against one.
Yeah, I think so.
Ha!
Just like a proper episode of Seinfeld, you know the characters on Seinfeld don't have to be likable for it to be a good episode.
Right.
You just have to feel like the plots that, you know, Larry David is putting together are snapping into place well, and it all kind of wraps up funny.
It's the journey, not the destination.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess that journey didn't quite work here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well...
And it makes me worry, because this is actually... Jackie, you don't know this, but this is the Coen brothers' last comedy.
You told me that before.
Last comedy that they ever want to do?
Well, no, they're working on it. They have a comedy in production now, actually. But to date, out of the movies that they've done, this is their last comedy.
That doesn't bother me, though.
I know that doesn't bother you because you don't like their comedies. Mm-mm. But I most of my favorite movies by them are comedies. Things like Raising Arizona and The Big Lebowski. And
which were great,
yeah.
Both of them.
And at their best, they just have like a snap and a total control of pacing and their sense of humor with their comedies.
Right.
And their last few comedies were, I feel like they lost that touch.
I can't believe that Lady Killers is supposed to be a comedy. I mean, I know it is, right. But it's, ugh.
But it's just, yeah, it's just, it's slack and you don't, the characters aren't people you enjoy spending time with. And
yeah.
And I felt like a little bit of that phenomenon was here too, even though this was better. Definitely
I want
better.
A sequel.
To this?
Yeah.
Hmm.
What would the sequel to this look like?
That would be even a greater challenge.
Yeah. No, I don't
I
want
to see her after cosmetic surgery.
That's all it would be. She just got what she wants.
How many more movies you guys have?
Only three more official ones, although we've got a few other episodes and things we're going to be doing. And going over the Fargo TV series. So this is not over yet.
Fargo TV series was pretty damn good.
It was great.
I'm excited for it.
They're doing number two next year, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're bringing it back.
Oh, so we'll have to come back.
I forget who's going to start it, but it's been announced.
Yeah, no, it's a completely different cast of characters. I don't know. I don't think they've actually worked out who's starting.
I'm not a huge Billy Bob Thornton fan, but...
What?
Are you just wrong about everything today?
What is this episode? Oh, my God.
I love that we're so on the same page today.
I know. It's so cute.
I hated Bad Santa. I know.
What?
I did.
Oh, yeah. He said that on Facebook, and it was like, what? Okay.
I hated it.
All right. Well, let's talk about that for a second. Why did you hate Bad Santa?
Oh, my God. What is happening?
It just disgusted me.
What?
I was in a bad mindset. I walked out. I walked out on it.
How far into the movie did you make it?
I don't know. Like 2/3.
Oh,
well, then
my...
you missed the ending. The
ending whole
is what,
point.
Yeah, the ending's like the whole point. That's what ties it together.
Literally
but
the whole point.
You have to stick around in the theater to get there.
But then
you
the journey feels right once you get to that
right.
ending.
It's like the whole point is like how...
Is he redeemed?
No, the whole...
You have to see it. We can't spoil it for you.
The point is like how...
I don't think I'm going to see it.
How irredeemable of a bastard can we make this guy and still kind of have a happy ending?
Okay, but now you ruined it as a happy ending.
He was,
Jesus,
he
it's
was
just
so
spoiler.
Unredeemable.
I know, but that was God. Amazing. That's what was so good about him. I think it's too cheesy to say that so many human beings are just like redeemable. Like, oh, you're just a fucking asshole for most of your life. And then a sweet kid is going to make you better. Like, that's not likely.
It's such a cliche setup, but
it's cliche.
Right.
But I'm saying that's it's
the way
so,
they execute it. You
yeah.
Was great.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Because it's not going to be like as immediate as you always see it in movies. Like in movies, the way that someone who's horrible is like suddenly redeemed is annoying to me because it doesn't make sense and it's not real. And that's what I like. So it's cheesy when they do it that way, but this way, the fact that he like refused to stop being an asshole
so this
for
is the
so
one
long
movie
was
you
great.
Remember.
Well, no,
it was recent.
We watched it pretty recently.
It was recent.
Oh.
But no, I remember the other ones too. I'm just saying, like, I start getting fuzzy on movies real quick. So pretty soon, I'm gonna not remember like Raising Arizona at all.
And you love Billy Bob.
I love him.
He's been great in everything we've watched. He's great in Bad
I
Santa.
Never specifically liked him before, but in watching him in Coen Brothers
he
movies,
was great
I really
he was great
love
in Fargo.
Him.
Oh, yeah, and the TV show Fargo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Well, he was great in The Man Who Wasn't There.
Yeah, I don't know if... Did you see that?
I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah, he was good in that.
Very good.
Yeah, he's... No, he's actually... He's, like, one of her great actors. I don't know why you don't like him.
It's just like, why don't I like George Clooney? Sometimes you just don't like someone.
Yeah, he just kind of rubs
me the wrong way.
You don't like anything about George Clooney?
He just... he rubs me the wrong way. Like, just as a person, as an actor.
Is he just, like, too slick?
I guess, yeah.
He usually plays himself. He doesn't have a lot of range.
George Clooney?
Yeah.
But, yeah, and that's why that's what I don't like. Like, I don't think I really like him.
Notably, his collaborations with the Coen brothers have often been the ones where he kind of breaks out of that.
Where he's able to stretch, like,
yeah.
Oh, brother, can you spare a dime and all
oh,
that?
Oh, brother, where art thou?
Oh, brother, where art thou?
Brother, can you spare a dime? Close enough.
But even
that's one you'll use on the podcast.
Yeah.
You're not going to cut that one out.
Nope.
But, like, he, even in the Coen brothers movies, doesn't have a lot of range. So it's like he has range with the Coen brothers, but then he plays the same guy every time, like slightly more ticks this time around. I'm like, shut up. Like,
yeah, he's kind of playing riffs on his usual, like, slick movie star persona.
Yeah, it's cheesy for me, too, though.
Yeah.
Although I find him more tolerable in Coen brothers movies, but I still...
You find him more tolerable in Intolerable Cruelty?
Yes. Exactly.
Interesting.
Boom.
That's ironic.
Mm-hmm.
But do you just not like Billy Bob because he, like, wore, like, Angelina Jolie's blood in, like, a little necklace for a while?
No, I don't know. There's something about him that kind of... He seems creepy to me.
He is creepy.
He is creepy, but that's the
but
point
I think
of
he's
him.
A good actor.
That's the point of him. That's the point of
well,
him.
Well, some
I don't
actors
think he's
are
like
creepy, and it's okay. John Malkovich is creepy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he's like, creepy personified. Do you like Tom Hanks? He always sort of plays the same thing.
No, wait, that's not true.
I mean,
I'm actually really neutral on him. I'm neutral on him. I really am.
The one I really... I
don't know.
I can understand not liking George Clooney. I don't understand not liking Brad Pitt. I think he's a legitimately great actor.
I think he's good.
Well, you know what? Okay, so I was rethinking this, too. I think when my friend made me watch Burn After Reading, it was not related to George Clooney. I think it was to prove a point about Brad Pitt, which I concede the point. I think he did a good job. But Brad Pitt as a human being rubs me the wrong way. Because I'm like...
As a human being?
What? You
from
mean,
what I know, he's doing, which is not
too,
much.
He's done too much for the people of New Orleans?
Okay, Ray.
Yeah. He got a boat and he paddled through New Orleans saving people from their houses.
What a horrible guy. Oh, my God.
No. I don't mean that. I don't mean him as a humanitarian. I mean him as a human. And, like, he's
stuck
a little...
by Angelina Jolie after she had her breasts removed.
But she chose to have her breasts removed. Well, and
yeah,
then she
but
got
he,
new ones.
And he chose to stay.
Right.
Why would he not? She wasn't sick. She just took her boobs out and put new ones in.
Well, maybe he...
Yeah.
So that proves
he doesn't
that he's
get
not,
a medal for
shallow.
That.
He's about more than boobs.
Yeah.
She has boobs.
Well, she has fake boobs.
So what does he care?
But that's my point.
He would care.
No guys care if you have fake boobs.
Sure
I care.
I care very deeply.
Oh, the Richard men care.
Oh, my God. We both care. That's one. That's in our DNA.
Big difference.
Okay.
And just in general form and texture, it just
completely.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you guys agree on that on this episode. But
yeah,
no, I just he
is
kind
it because
of
he's a bad stoner. He smokes like crazy weed.
Oh, whatever.
Is it that? Is that what you hate?
Brad, no, Brad does.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, he just seems a little bit like he seems a little weak to me, which I don't like.
Weak in character.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like a weak man. But I could be wrong. I mean, what do I know? Yeah. It's not a huge hatred. I'm just kind of like, I don't love him. And it's also that...
Are you thinking of Thelma and Louise?
I don't remember Thelma and Louise, so I can't tell you if I am. No, I'm talking like as a person, and it's like, whatever. It's from celebrity gossip shit. Like, how do I know if any of it's true? He just kind of seems
well, wait,
weak-ish.
Can you say one piece of celebrity gossip that gave you that impression?
No, it's just like the whole Jennifer Aniston versus Angelina Jolie thing.
You're still pissed off that he left Jennifer.
No, I don't mind that he did. I mean, he shouldn't have stayed with her, so that's fine. But it's also because my generation was like, of girls was so like, oh my God, Brad Pitt is like the cutest guy ever. Like, and I just also don't find him that attractive. Like, he's not ugly by any means, but he's not my type at all.
Isn't he old for your generation?
No, because when we were young, like when we were teenagers,
yeah,
he was like young
he was
and
for
hot
sure. He was like,
whatever.
Yeah, the matinee idol.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of like, it was overplayed. And this goes into my Barton Fink mentality of like, I really hate sometimes what everybody loves and it annoys me if people are like jumping on a bandwagon.
Oh, so you're just being contrarian. That's
yeah,
what this is.
A little bit. But I don't find him physically attractive. Like I just don't think he's like that hot. Like I just don't.
Each
but
his own, sure.
But then everyone's like so obsessed with him and I think it's kind of overplayed and that kind of annoys me. And because I'm a contrarian, snob sometimes.
He's just been really good in like Fight Club and Glorious Bastards.
He was great in Fight Club. Yeah, and I remember Fight Club.
Yeah.
No, he's a great actor. Right? I have no problem with him. I just don't like love him. And everyone's always like, I love him. And I'm like, I don't love him. It's annoying.
So you think Angelina should have stayed with Billy Bob?
No, because Billy Bob is a creep.
This and is all like a 6 degrees of separation.
It is.
And yeah, yeah. But he would. It's not like he's going to be like this great father to her children, which I'm sure Brad Pitt is.
And we'll, we'll talk more about Angelina when we watch Unbroken.
That's right.
This has nothing to do with anything, but did either of you see Interstellar?
Not yet.
I haven't seen it yet.
Not yet.
Oh. I'll be really interested to see what you find.
I'm really curious.
Everyone loved it, so I'll probably hate it.
No, I know a lot of people who
did not
like
it. I know a lot of people that despised it.
Yeah. Some people hate it.
I might
love it then.
Yeah. There we go. And most people liked this movie, and we did not. So mm-hmm. we like being contrarian sometimes, too.
We don't. See what I did there?
Yes, we do!
And I'm contrarian to the two of you.
There we go. We're just a big circle jerk of hating each other.
Nice.
Let's all join hands and scream.
Yeah. So a couple interesting pieces of trivia about this film. Did you know that the Coens based Linda Liskey on Linda Tripp?
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Linda Tripp, she wasn't a gym instructor.
She wasn't a gym instructor, but like her look and some of the coaching in her acting performance.
Oh my God.
And at one point, Harry references an affair he had with a woman named Monica.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm. Linda Tripp.
I did notice that part.
Possibly actually. The most reprehensible human being that's ever lived.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so yeah, she's not supposed to be a likable person at all, I don't think.
I kind of liked... Witzke.
Really?
I don't think
she was sort of adorably crazy.
She's just self-obsessed and again willing to commit treason to make her body look slightly better.
And I can't tell you the number of millions of Americans that would do that same thing.
You might be right about that.
This is somewhat of a shallow country. I don't know if you've noticed.
When Brad Pitt says that he told Joel Cohen after reading the script, he asked him how to play such an idiot because he had no idea. Joel's response was to pause for a second and then say, "You'll be fine."
which one is married to Francis, Joel or Ethan?
Joel. Yeah. This was the first original Coen Brothers screenplay since Manu wasn't there. For a while, they'd just been doing like adaptations and reworks of other people's material.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's not working for them.
It's not.
I think it worked spectacularly.
I know you think that. Yeah, a lot of people really like this movie. Roger Ebert liked this movie.
What?
He said that Linda and...
And he died for his review.
He said that Linda and Chad reminded him of Rupert and Masha in King of Comedy. Oh. Kind of the same sort of like
Did you like The King of Comedy?
I didn't see it.
Oh my God, you have to see it.
The King of Comedy is pretty great.
That's the greatest Scorsese movie ever.
I think that's saying a lot, but I think it's really good.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see it.
You should see it. You should see some Scorsese movies.
I've seen some that I don't remember and probably have not seen most of them.
You need to get like your...
I don't have time.
Okay.
I don't have time to remember things either. I don't have time to watch them and I don't have time to remember them.
I don't have time to care about anything.
Ugh, I hate movies. League of Morons, God.
Yes, all right. I know, you're surrounded by the League of Morons all the time. One other reviewer said that this film explores mind-body duality because Osborne Cox represents the intelligence community, which is the mind, and Linda works at the gym, which represents the body.
I think
body.
That's a bit of a stretch.
I think that's a gigantic stretch. I think that's... Oh, I think that goes against the entire point of this movie, which is that it's not supposed to have a point.
No.
Yeah, when you started saying that, I was kind of like, oh, that validates my point that like Osborne is like this loose cannon that's like your inner monologue. But then that was a completely different point. So, no, I disagree with that point.
Yeah. Sometimes people just try to read too much into Coen Brothers movies. I wouldn't know anything about that, though.
I think that's the very essence of this podcast.
I think so, too.
I would, however, call this movie, because of the plot of Linda Witzke and everything else, No Country for Old Skin.
Oh.
Thank you.
Any final thoughts about this movie from either of you guys?
I think I've said my
thing. I think it's a divisive in terms of how... No, I loved the individual performances, if more so than the actual whole. Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that.
I like the sum of its parts better than what they wound up with, but that was enough for me.
because it did start slow and it did end abruptly, and even if that thematically works, it does mean the structure of this film is pretty bizarre. There are individual moments that work. I think there's a lot more individual moments that don't work than you think.
Yeah.
I just realized I said the same thing twice when I said the sum of its parts didn't equal the whole. No, the sum of its parts would be the whole.
Oh,
I was thinking about that. I'm glad you corrected yourself because
I liked
want to
the individual pieces of it better than the sum.
No, you hear the phrase "the whole is greater than the sum of its parts."
I know, but I kind of said the same thing twice.
Okay.
I said the whole and the sum of its parts.
Right.
Well, the whole is
it's being different.
Yeah, but no, the whole is not the sum of its parts.
Yes,
that's the whole
is.
Point when you say the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You said
Are
it right
sure?
the first time.
Oh
yes.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah, you were right the first time around.
Oh. I was trying to be.
But the sum is the whole.
You're right. I was trying to be insightful and instead I contradicted myself.
No, that's the point of the phrase is that when you add all the individual parts together, it doesn't add up to what the whole should be.
Oh, I got it.
The whole is greater than the sum of its
parts. I have problems with American expressions because my family's not American.
I still don't completely understand that. even though you just explained it. Cuz the sum of its parts should be the whole as well.
Well, Dad,
the sum of it is the added together of all the parts.
All I can say is a stitch in time saves nine.
And I still don't know what that
means. Chickens are coming home to
And I, don't, yes. I still don't know what that means.
And a bird in the hand is worth two in the
And
bush.
What stitch are we talking about? who are the nine that it saved?
I don't know. How do you stitch time, first of all?
What is the nine? Who are the nine?
who are these nine? Is it the Supreme Court?
Nothing can save them.
Jackie, do you have any final thoughts about this movie?
I mean, I feel like I've said everything, and otherwise you have said it since we're so on the same page today.
Yeah, amazingly, we're really completely on the same page on this one.
Yeah.
It is not the Coen Brothers' worst movie.
Do you guys do everything together?
No.
No, just this podcast. We're usually not even on the same page for that.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. That's what's interesting.
I've driven you into each other's arms.
Apparently. Well, then let's get to our final segment of the show, which is where we have a quiz loosely inspired by the movie of the week, and it's called Raising Arizona. I'm glad that continues to get a laugh every time.
You know what? He hasn't listened to the podcast before because it's so funny to you every time. I'm not buying it.
I didn't get to the end to the Quizona part.
Of any of the podcasts?
I guess not.
He has not listened to it.
Which one did you listen to? One full episode.
Back it up. Do a quiz about the podcast and see how your dad does, and then we'll know if he's watched it.
Right. We'll do a quiz about the movie and then about... I'll take that on.
Who won the quiz on the Barton Fink episode?
I didn't listen to that one.
Obviously.
I will...
Which episode have you listened to?
I'll figure out a way to prove to you.
Okay, but which episode did you listen to?
I listened to Raising Arizona.
Okay. Okay. Who was the guest on Raising Arizona?
I don't remember. There wasn't one.
that's not a trick question. There was a guest.
Oh.
Shoot. You know what? Never mind, Dad. It's okay. It's okay that you don't care about my work. It's
not
fine.
True.
My
it's
mom hasn't listened to the
I did listen to it. I'm sorry, I'm like Jackie. I don't remember things 2 minutes after I've done them.
Uh-huh.
All right, I believe it.
He remembers movies, but not podcasts. It doesn't add up.
Okay, look. I have my Alzheimer's is coming up right on this show. Are you happy now?
I'm sad now.
I'm surrounded by morons. You guys are part of a league of morons.
God. Gosh, I was on the same page as you.
I have never denied that.
So the quiz today is actually going to be slightly different from our usual format. Here, the theme of the quiz is exercise fads. Based on the fact there's a gym in this movie.
Uh-huh.
We get it.
Do you get it? Because, like, exercise happens at a gym?
Uh-huh.
All right. Anyways.
How would you know? You never go to the gym.
I have
this
gone
is my,
to the
this
gym.
This is his understanding.
This is what I believe happens at a gym, based on my viewing of movies like Burn After Reading and seeing gyms.
Right. So
movies.
Based on hearsay, but okay.
Based on hearsay. No, okay. So... I have a list of 14 products that were sold as exercise products. 7 of them are real and 7 of them I made up. And you have to tell me which ones are the real exercise products and which ones I made up. Here we go. The first one, the Power Plate, a vibrating plate that you stand on to shake the calories off. Is that a real product or is that a product I made up?
That's a real product.
I was going to say it's a real product.
You guys are right.
Yeah.
See? Right off the bat.
Ding.
Number two, the upside down sit-up bar. It's a pull-up bar that you strap your feet to and do upside down sit-ups.
That's not a real problem.
Yeah.
You guys are wrong. It's a real thing.
Oh no!
Yep. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh my.
No,
God,
you're like hanging upside down like a bat. And
that's completely retarded.
I've seen that, but I thought that. Okay.
Yeah. No, that's a real product you could buy. It comes with like shoes that are attached to the bar that you strap yourself into.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It just gets worse and worse.
It sounds horrible, actually. Like all the blood's rushing to your head. All right. Number three, the oyster shell. It's a huge oyster shell that you tuck yourself into and pop out of to build your abs.
That would absolutely not be a real product.
I have to think about it because it could be a trick. Do you have any years on this?
I have no years.
Hmm.
It could have come out at like any time in the last 3 decades.
Just for fun, I'm going to say it's a real thing. I feel like I'm wrong.
Yeah, Jackie's wrong. The oyster shell is not a real thing.
It'd be funny if it was real.
Yeah.
I was willing to risk it.
It's frightening that it sounds like it could be.
Yeah.
I try to make the fake ones close for the most part. All right.
From the 60s.
So Dad's up by one.
Ugh.
All right. The sauna suit.
I'm a bad sport.
It's a black plastic suit that you sweat inside while you work out to make your workout like a sauna.
I'm going to say that isn't a real product.
It's not a real product.
You guys are wrong. That's a real product.
Oh, Jesus.
It just looks like a guy wearing a garbage bag.
Sauna suit. This is so completely ridiculous.
It sounds like the worst imaginable workout, too. Girl.
That sounds good, though. I want one. I like sweating. I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah, it makes you feel better. It cleans you out.
Oh, God. You're going to get so
sweaty. Gets all your toxins.
Toxins aren't a real thing.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Oh, my
toxin
God. Coming from Mr. Jim himself.
Yes, Mr. Jim says toxins aren't a real thing.
That's something somebody came up with to sell products.
Basically.
No, I love sweating. Yeah. I always feel better afterwards.
I don't.
Hmm.
I feel sticky.
Hey, then just take a shower.
Question number five. Not helpless. I can take care of myself.
I love this dynamic.
The Wii Horse. It's a Wii game that has a horse-shaped attachment that you can lose weight by riding.
That's definitely not a real product.
I'm sorry, describe it again.
Wii Horse, like Wii Fit.
Uh-huh.
It's got a horse-shaped peripheral that you can do like horseback riding and lose weight.
No, that's definitely not a real product.
Peripheral to what, though? I don't understand what.
I don't see how riding a horse could help you lose weight.
It's like a video game, like that you have like a horse thing that you sit on and you plug it in.
Oh, so.
Like a saddle.
Yeah, like a saddle.
Oh. Does Wii have a saddle? And are you asking?
At first,
is that like a two-part question? Like, does Wii have a saddle? And like, does it help you lose weight?
At first, I thought you were saying whores. I thought that Wii had actually what was the prostitution experience kind of.
I mean, don't laugh. I'm sure that's coming.
Probably.
Wait. So, sorry. Is it like two-part? Like that, it helps you lose weight, or it's for the purpose of losing weight?
The question is just: is it a real video game that helps you lose weight?
But that's
it's supposed to
a
help
compound
you lose weight.
Question. But like
it's one question. Is it
no, it's
real
not
thing?
Because like is there yeah, but like it could exist, but it might not help you lose weight. I think it exists. I'll just say it.
Look, most of these things probably don't help you lose weight. They're all just exercise fads.
Fine. I'll just say it exists.
All right, Dad's right again.
Oh my God, I hate it. I'm just trying to be risky it's not working.
I love that I'm tricking you into saying yes to some of these things.
Yeah, I hate it.
yeah, that is not a real thing. All right. Question number six.
You feel especially dumb.
I do not feel dumb.
The power floater.
I'll decide if you feel dumb or not.
All right. The power floater is a small cube that you can attach to your hips and float in a pool, and it helps you strengthen your core.
I believe that's a real product.
It's a cube?
Yeah.
Can you describe it again?
It's like a cube that you attach to your hips, and you can float in a pool, and it helps you strengthen your core when you like float on it.
You float on top of the cube?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to picture what this thing is. So you're laying, it's a cube, and you're laying on it on your stomach?
You're questioning it.
Or on your back.
It's not a real thing.
I believe it is.
All right, Jackie gets this one.
Yes, I knew it. Yes, yes.
Now you know how it feels.
I'm on the ride.
I'm such an idiot.
See?
Oh, my God.
It's important. This is an important part of the podcast.
Yes.
Pride.
This is bullshit part of the
podcast. Aha. Ha-ha. Okay, I'm still one down. I got to go.
Question number seven, the forklift. They are weighted utensils that work out your arms while you eat.
Oh, that is so not a real product.
They're weighted utensils.
Yes.
It's called a forklift.
The forklift. They're like forks and knives with like weights on them so that when you eat a meal, it
actually,
it works,
you know
what?
I'm going to change my mind. I think it is a real product.
Where's the weight attached to?
It's like attached to the base of like the utensil.
So is it like a 5-pound weight?
We don't know.
It's not a real thing.
I think it is.
Ted is right.
No!
I changed my mind. Yeah, I decided it was real.
The forklift is real.
Oh, I hate
so that
my
way,
life.
That way, even while you're eating a meal,
this
you're
is
working
such an
out.
Important part of the show.
Oh, I live for this part of the show. I know. I'm two down.
All right, you're two down, but you can still catch up.
All right.
All right.
Probably not, but...
Number 8 is the Exer wheel. It's a human-sized hamster wheel that you run on like a treadmill.
That is also a real product.
I feel like it's... I want to say it's real, too, because I feel like it either exists or people have talked about it so much that I believe it exists.
I think I've seen it.
All right.
I made that one up.
No!
I know!
No!
How are you falling for these?
And we both know it.
Oh, I hate this.
Because you said 7 are real and 7 are not.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you've had way more not so far.
It's been about even.
Really?
Yeah.
Josh is very tricky.
I'm very tricky. That's why these games are hard.
I'm still up two.
You're still up two.
All right.
But Jackie, you have room to catch up.
Thank you.
The ab lounger. It's a lounge chair that strengthens your abs every time you lean back.
I'm such a sucker that I think that's real too.
Wish I could read your mind. Why aren't we?
You can't read Vitell's this time.
That's a per.
So
that's what
America.
That's the ultimate American experience: is exercise that doesn't where you can lay down and still do it.
Right.
So how do you? How does it strengthen your abs?
You lean back and it's good for your abs.
It's a chase lounge.
Like it does things to it.
Yeah.
To you. Like it manipulates your muscles probably while you're laying.
Like you lean back and you just keep leaning back.
Passive exercise, if you will.
Right.
Ab lounger. Not real.
Tad gets another point. It's real.
It seems like something that they would have.
I know.
I know. And then I thought it was too obvious.
Got 5 questions left. Okay. You could come back.
I'm going to.
All right. The Dogmaster is a treadmill powered by your dog on another smaller treadmill.
See, this sounds like a trick question. It sounds so utterly ridiculous.
It's not real.
That cannot be real. I agree.
All right, you guys are both right. That's not real. Boot camps are shoes that pinch your feet whenever you sit down to encourage you to stay upright.
No.
Boot camps. That's definitely not real.
You guys are both saying no?
Yeah, that's not real.
All right, it is real?
You guys are both right again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. You guys are getting good. You're getting better.
I love that.
The power band is a plastic wristband that improves balance and conditioning through holographic frequencies.
That's not real.
What is it called?
The power band.
And what does it do?
It improves balance and conditioning through holographic frequencies.
Oh, that's not real.
You guys are both wrong again. It's real.
What is a holographic frequency?
I don't know, but that's how they advertise the power band.
That's some shit. No. Okay.
It sounds like bullshit, but people buy it.
It's unbelievable.
It's a real product available.
Holographic?
Yes, holographic.
Like a hologram?
Like a hologram.
Like what?
What could that possibly do?
Yeah.
It's got like a... Yeah, look up the power band. It's got like a little hologram in it. I saw the photo.
What is it called? The power band?
The power band. I think it sells for like $30. All right, there's 2 more, which means, Jackie, you've kind of already lost.
Shut up.
All right.
When I quit.
Well, at least try. The Face Trainer is a constricting face mask that works out your head and neck muscles.
Wait, say that again.
The Face Trainer is a constricting face mask that works out your head and neck muscles.
That sounds... I cannot believe that would be true. I say no.
I'll just say it's real. It doesn't matter for me anymore.
Well, Jackie, actually, you got a point from that.
Yeah, I knew it.
Now that it's too late. It looks like the person's head is almost like in a sleep mask.
I don't want that to be real.
Can I just interject before we get to the last question? Numerous independent studies of the device found it to be ineffective for enhancing athletic performance, and the manufacturer was forced to retract its claims in 2010.
Oh, well, of course. Because it's bullshit. I'm just saying it wasn't.
I just want to say, there's...
All of these are bullshit. Even the real ones are bullshit. None of these actually help you exercise.
I just want to make a... Well, I feel like an ab lounger would probably work your abs out.
I guarantee that doesn't work your abs out better than like doing sit-ups.
Actual, no.
It has been described as like the tooth fairy and a very successful marketing scam. Just in case anyone was wondering.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
If all of these are scams, that's my point.
And generally successful.
Yeah, they're successful scams. The last one is the sleep and burn. They're shorts that you wear to bed and they gently rotate your hips while you sleep.
No.
No.
All right, you guys are right.
I lost.
Sorry,
my life is
okay.
Over.
Not literally.
I think that would be a
that might be slightly overdramatic.
I don't think so. I think I know. That's for me.
Look, that wraps up the show.
This was fun. Thanks
was
super thanks for
fun.
Thanks for letting me come.
Yeah, well, God, I had
thanks
to get you on an episode
on.
Of Accept the Mystery.
I know,
at some
I appreciate
point.
It. Well,
even though you apparently never listened to like even a single second.
I do. I'm going to prove it to you. I don't know how, but I'm going to prove it to you.
Okay.
And do you feel that it was justified in him inviting me here today, Jackie?
Justified? That's an understatement. We were like
yeah,
we're waiting
course.
To have
we
you
have,
on.
Of course, we want to have you on. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, you did a great job. I'm glad you liked this, because if it had just been a bunch of people talking shit on Burn After Reading, it wouldn't have been as fun.
Oh, no.
You need some debate.
You
We've
can't
done
have
that, yeah.
Three people in agreement is not a show.
We did that with The Lady Killers. It was like, none of us like this movie.
Yeah, all it right, was sad. So,
yeah,
and then we had In and
sad.
Out.
Yeah, then
which
we had
was
In
the
and
best
out
part of the day.
Bad.
Yeah.
I didn't like The Lady Killers either.
Good. Thank God. That means you have some taste.
I redeemed myself.
Yeah.
There you go.
But look, coming up next week is A Serious Man, which I'm not even going to leave you guys in suspense. It's one of my favorites. So that's going to be a really exciting one to talk about.
Yeah.
And we've got an exciting guest.
And I'll have
great.
To listen to it.
And you're going to have you have to listen to
I'm
it.
I'm going to listen to it.
Because I'm your son.
I'll depose you afterwards to see if you really listen to it.
I'm your flesh and blood.
I have listened to several of these.
All right.
I'm standing by that.
And all
Put
you guys
to a lie detector.
And all you guys out there who are presumably listening, if you want to prove that you're listening, I think you should go to like iTunes and rate our podcast.
What kind of audience do we have? How many?
Solid. That's good. About as good as JFIO is doing.
Yeah.
People are listening to us.
Yeah,
they're the quiet majority. If you're listening to us, you should like tweet us on Twitter and tell us how much you enjoy it, or go to iTunes and
that
rate us.
That would be so nice.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't it be great if the Coen brothers actually, if you came on their radar somehow?
I'm going to admit that I went on to like IMDb Pro and looked up Joel Cohen's like publicist and considered contacting him to say like, would you guys like to come on this podcast about your filmography? I don't think they'd do it though.
Okay, let me know. I'll do it.
Would you
give me the contact?
You want to hit him up?
Yeah.
Or I can help too if you want.
Yeah.
Because I actually know a lot of these publicists.
It's true. You've got inside connections.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is happening.
Yeah. The worst thing they can say is no.
Yeah.
Actually, no. The worst thing they could say is fuck no, you pathetic little
fuck
weasels.
No, and we're suing.
Profiting,
the worst thing
they
could do is try to
off
sue.
Profiting off my filmography.
Like,
yeah.
And I'd be like, fair use, baby.
No, this is
just
the kind of thing that they would do.
They
to sue us or to go
no.
on the show?
Go on the show.
Okay.
Well,
not sue.
Well, they famously don't like to talk about their work much.
But now that we've dissected it so much, they might want to set the record straight.
They might want to set the record straight on some things. They might want to be like, you were totally
they
wrong
could
about
come
this
on
movie.
And talk about why they don't talk about their work.
Yeah. And it actually would be kind of a thing they would do to like go on like a semi-obscure podcast instead of, you know,
that's
like
what
going
I mean.
On like
right.
Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah.
That would really put you on the map.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's do it.
Cohen, done.
Listen, Joel and Ethan Cohen, if you're listening, because I know you're listening, and you want to set the record straight about anything we've done throughout the run of the show, please, come on. We'll be super respectful.
Yeah.
I just want an email from them. You know nothing of our mindset.
Yes.
When we were doing Blood Simple.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
I feel like I'm going to relate to them so much.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Dad, if people want to like check out stuff you do on the internet or find out more about you, what should they do? Where should they go?
Friend me on Facebook.
There you go. Ray Richmond.
Oh, we're not friends. I'll be friends with you.
Oh, yeah. Friend me, please.
I will. We have a lot of friends in common, I bet.
And I do a column every couple weeks at a local rag in Burbank and Glendale. And
what's the name of this local rag?
Oh, the Burbank Leader and the Glendale News Press.
There you go.
Where I get to riff about things. Of course, the subject this week is Bill Cosby.
Of course.
It's supposed to be about Burbank and Glendale, about the communities. And I never write about Burbank and Glendale. You know, they're do you ever do it anyway?
I mean, do you ever just find a way to try to tie it back into Burbank and Glendale, at least stretch?
Yes. And in fact, in the Cosby one.
Right, like when Bill Cosby did a set at the Burbank Theater back in the day.
When he did his show up for NBC, he notably did not shoot it in Burbank, but in New York.
There you go. So it's not just that he's like a terrible rapist, it's also that he shit on Burbank.
That he fucked
Burbank. That cannot be allowed to stand.
Exactly.
That's the real problem.
And to Burbankians, that is a greater sin. I just coined that word, I think.
Yeah, is that what they call themselves, Burbankians?
I have no idea.
Glendaleites?
Yeah, Burbankians. That would be really, really unfortunate if they did.
Bankers.
Bankers.
Yo, where are you from? I'm from the bank. Bank, son.
Burbank items.
What is it about Burbankers?
Yeah, Burbankers.
Yeah. This is on the bank card.
I don't think they have a lot of bakers in Burbank, actually.
No, just
it's mostly
bankers.
Like the entertainment industry.
They have a lot of Armenians, though, so we call them Burbankians.
There you go. That's why you said Burbankians. Jackie, anything you want to plug?
Yes. Okay. I was thinking about this as I was driving over, and I realized my Instagram is funnier than my Twitter. So I'm going to do a new thing where everything on my Instagram goes on my Twitter.
Are you into, like, visual humor? Your pictures are funny?
You know what? They're at least interesting.
Okay.
So I just want to let everybody know that my quiet little Twitter is going to get better, because now I'll put everything from Instagram on there.
I need to start going on Instagram. I don't do Instagram.
Well, Instagram is my favorite.
I mean, you don't need to start going on Instagram.
Yes, you do.
I wouldn't call it like an imperative for your life.
You need to.
For me, it is.
Get on there. Josh is so cool on Instagram and has like no appreciation for it. It sucks.
I'm not cool on Instagram. I'm never on Instagram.
He has 15,000 followers on Instagram.
Every photographer's dream.
That's just because it was on a reasonably popular satellite radio show.
I know,
it
I'm just saying.
Shit.
And don't you still have like 25,000 followers on Twitter?
27. Yeah,
but who's counting?
I think he is.
Josh is so cool. I wish everybody that followed Josh would follow me.
Guys,
they haven't yet.
Come on, I know you guys are listening.
How many followers do you have?
Oh, I don't know, like less than 200.
Oh,
guys,
I'm not.
Even,
like,
I've got 400.
That sucks.
Guys, more people should be following Jackie than should be following my dad. At least make that happen.
It's no, true. I don't even tweet.
I mean, I don't do that much. But you're like more of a public figure than I am, because you've written
public
columns
figure.
And stuff.
Oh,
it's you know
true.
What I mean? Like,
I have a Wikipedia page.
I do not.
That is, I don't have a Wikipedia page.
We should make one for you.
I don't know who did it.
Raw Dog.
I mean, I think there is a Raw Dog subheading on the Jason Ellis Show Wikipedia page.
We should probably blow that out. To your own page.
You don't need to find me on Wikipedia. You can find what I'm doing at joshrichmond.net, my very own website.
Ooh, cool.
Or also accepthemystery.net, which has links to every one of these podcast episodes. And I am on Twitter, and I do make it a point to tweet, and sometimes I tweet funny observations, and sometimes I tweet interesting links to things that I find interesting. Both the links are interesting and the things are interesting. It's dually interesting.
Sounds really interesting.
You're amazingly talented and extremely good at podcasting and writing.
You don't have to say that.
Yes, he does. He's your dad.
But it happens to be true.
Anyways.
And I agree with your dad.
Anyways.
I think Jackie's very wise. Okay.
Any last things you want to slip
your dad
in before
is really
we
wise.
Oh.
Except for I don't agree with him about this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think both you guys are wise.
That's the only thing is Jackie's wrong about the book.
I'm sorry about that League of Morons crack. I think we're a league of geniuses.
I agree.
I think we're somewhere in between.
No, I'll say geniuses.
Yeah. Geniuses. Yeah. We're like Mensa over here.
I don't know if we're a league exactly, but yes. We're very smart.
We should start like a softball league.
But
I like
can
it.
You Well, you sorry.
Have to have, yeah, sorry, T-ball league. Man,
are you sure you're up for it, though?
I'm ready for T-ball. I've mastered
over
T-ball.
160 there, to be on the team.
Anyways, guys, until next time, this has been great. Thank you for coming on, Dad, seriously.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. My pleasure.
Great.
And until next time, everybody, peace and love.
Peace and love.